Man, is this fun or what? It's a student believe the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
We sing this song, washed in the blood, and it says, I am innocent.
Yes.
Do you know how long I lived my life and didn't know that, didn't understand that, and nobody talked about that, and nobody there talking?
Amen. Amen.
You know what Daniel said? Daniel, you guys know about Daniel?
Yes, sir. Amen.
There was a decree. Some men set Daniel up. They didn't like him. So they tricked the king to sign a decree. Got Daniel put in the lion's den. He really put himself there.
Yeah.
Because he didn't change nothing. He just opened the doors up every day, and he just did what he did with Jesus coming forward.
Yes.
And he got him thrown in the lion's den. And when the king realized he was tricked, Daniel was actually his buddy, and these men were jealous.
Yeah.
This is a summary, just a nutshell of the story. So the king stayed up and prayed and fasted all night and cried out for Daniel because he was really upset because he figured he got his buddy eaten up by lions. They put Daniel in there and closed that den up with them lions. Let him in there overnight. So in the morning, the king goes running to the den of the lions and he yells in and he says, "Oh, Daniel, was your God able to save you from the mouth of those lions?" And inside, from inside the lion's den, Daniel said, you can read it in your Bible. He said, "Oh yes, O king. Watch. For as much as he found me innocent in his sight, he shut the mouths of every lion." What's he find you and me through the blood of Jesus? Oh, come on now. If you start believing innocent, guess what your life will start looking like? If you start believing sonship, guys, guess what your life will start looking like? If you start believing acceptance, guess what your life will start looking like? And all of a sudden you won't need something trivial and surface and be on thin ice risking to get your heart broke looking for something. Be somebody. All of a sudden you'll find out who you are in him, and you'll realize you've already been accepted, you've already been forgiven, you've already been washed, and nobody owes you a thing, and you owe no man anything but to love. It's Romans, it's 13, it's there, man. That's what you owe. You owe no man anything but to love. Why? Because you ain't been nothing but loved. On your darkest day, he didn't lose sight of who you were created to be and who he desired you to be. From the beginning of time, he had the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And no matter how far you drifted, no matter how far you ran, he never changed his mind about who you are and why you're here. It's amazing. So we're singing these songs and they ring so true. Because it's the strength of the gospel, people. And I could hear the heart of God crying out over there, man. He was doing something in the room. He wants you to see who he is and see his nature. Some of us been brought up and taught God's mad at you. You broke the heart of God. You made God angry. You ticked God off. I think we read too much Old Testament. We're in a new covenant, a new and living way. We come to God through his blood. There's mercy. That doesn't empower you to stay the same. That empowers you to change. Some of us preachers are afraid to preach the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. You say, "Yeah, brother, it ain't about love. It's about judgment too." Stop it. Read your Bible. Jesus said, "I didn't come to judge you. I came that you might be saved. to me. I hope you're happy. changed. It's the goodness of God that led me to change. I didn't find a way to sin and get away with it. That's what we're afraid of. We're afraid to preach it in this God because we think people will just keep on saying, oh, God loves me anyway. We're not talking about God loving you while you're doing all that stuff. We're talking about God loving you from the beginning. Yes. It ain't when I'm preaching something that while you're in the midst of messing up, you know, God loves me anyway. We're not talking about that. We're talking about loving you and seeing you in a higher value than what you produce, and that empowers you to produce something different.
Yes.
I did not find a way to sin and get away with it. I found a way to be free.
Yes.
Lord, you mean you don't care about blasphemy, heresy? I don't even think about it. And if I would go into it, I would run to him. Amen. Not so young.
Yeah.
He's my father. If he loved me and saved me while I was yet a sinner, how much more will I be saved from wrath through him because he lives? I'm going to run to him. But here's the truth. I didn't wake up to sin today. I woke up to be his. You'd be amazed how if the eyes sing, the whole body's flooded with light. And if the gospel can change your perspective, it can change your life.
Yes.
So if I wake up and try not to sin, I'm going to be sin conscious. And I'm going to think I'm failing before I get out of bed. But if I wake up to be his, I understand I'm accepted and righteous and pure.
Sin and lie unto God in Christ if you're always boasting your ability to commit it every day. The gospel calls that deception. You have no idea what the word says.
Yeah.
You're letting your life's experience be your truth instead of his grace changing you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your highest accomplishment is your ceiling. And all of a sudden, grace can't take you no higher because you have no faith to believe you can do more. So you're stuck in your own strength, so you remain the same. So then in time, you find yourself going through the motions. You don't really feel good about yourself. Love's a mystery because you have a hard time wondering how he can love somebody like you because you're very aware of this. And now your face is down. You don't even have intimacy with them. And if you don't have intimacy, you're certainly not bearing fruit, getting pregnant, and never looking like him.
That's right.
Yeah. But see, did you ever notice when two people are intimate, something comes out of that intimacy that looks like them?
Wow.
If you're never intimate with him, how's anything going to come out of your life that looks like him? If you don't come and be one with him and get close to him and let the seed of who he is dwell on the inside of you, how are you ever going to give birth to anything that looks like him? Well, you do ministry all you want, and you get hurt and burned out and don't trust people and you got walls. But when you live in the Spirit, you let your identity rest on being a son. You don't even know what it means to be burned out because you ain't doing ministry.
Yeah.
You're living him.
Amen.
And I ain't never even been close to burned out within him.
Amen.
I don't even know what that means. Burned out. You can say ministry to take a toll on me, but yeah, ministry will. Relationship with Jesus never happened. Some folks say, he preached all night and he never opened his Bible. Well, that's because I opened it when you weren't looking. He said to me a long time ago, he said, I'm going to be speaking to a lot of his people. He told me this a long time ago. And I said, what? He said, Deb, I'm going to put you in front of a lot of my people. And he said, you're going to have revelation of love and my righteousness, and you're going to encourage and minister to men. I'm like, he's speaking his heart on the work. I'm like, what? I mean, I'm so uneducated, it's ridiculous. I can read, I can write, and it don't go a whole lot farther. I can balance a checkbook at times. I'm a very uneducated man. But man, I've done with him.
Yeah.
He was so funny. He was saying, you are so wise. You got wrong. You are so. And I'm like, yeah. It's so funny. If this gospel was complicated, I would not be in, man. I would not be in. He said, when he told me what I was going to be doing, I was like, I'm scared of this. Sentence is coming through my heart in English while I'm working. I'm going, I'm freaking out. You can't tell me. Looks like you're hearing voices. And then there's some people, Christians, well, God don't speak today. I am not. Jesus said, Holy Spirit is coming, and he's only going to speak that which he hears. So Jesus said, Holy Spirit, speak it. So how will God speak it?
Amen.
I just don't get the stuff we fight over. So here's what I notice: the people that are picking the fights, they don't have joy in their life, and they're not free. They ain't producing no fruit. They think they're standing up for the gospel.
Yeah.
I'm flying on airplanes now. People crying. I got flight attendants. They don't know what to do. They want to move people from my seat because they're crying. And then they realize they're being blessed, not frustrated. It's just fun. But it's because I ain't got a worse issue.
Amen.
I ain't got he said, she said, and I feel, well, how come they shouldn't have had their wow? I don't have that anymore.
Amen.
And I'm not good at that.
Amen.
Because I never saw that produce anything good.
Amen.
He said to me, he said, I don't ever want you to read your Bible to preach a sermon. So he told me. He said, I only ever want you to read your Bible to know me. And only ever speak out of who I am in your life. And that'll carry weight. Yes, sir. So I've never read my Bible to preach to you.
Praise God.
I read my Bible to know him. I didn't read my Bible to support my childhood, heritage, doctrine, to defend my pastor. I didn't read my Bible to make you wrong, to make me right. I read my Bible to know him.
Amen.
That took all the screens away.
Amen.
You know, people will read their Bible with the motive of finding a reason to get out of a relationship, and they're sure they found the reason. You know, people read their Bible to find a reason to leave their church, and they know they found the reason. They'll interpret Scripture to suit their desire because they're reading it through that screen. Let me tell you something scary about fallen humanity and the pride of man. This is frightening to me. Truth himself, his name's Jesus. He stood for years in the streets and spoke. Truth himself.
Yes.
Only saying what the Father was saying.
Yes.
And they killed him for a blasphemer.
Yes. Yes.
Hello? So far away from truth that it's standing right in front of them and they couldn't hear it. To the degree that they killed him and put him on a cross as a blasphemer. And he was truth and always will be.
Yes.
Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. They were all made through him, but they were so perverse in the fall of man that truth came, stood right in front of them, and they called truth a lie to the point that they killed him for the things he said.
That's right.
And let me ask you this. Was he 1,000% right? Every word?
Yes.
Was every word 1,000% right?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how men can sit and listen for what they don't agree with and never hear what he said? The only thing they were listening for is what they didn't agree with. So it skewed their ears and blinded their eyes so they could never hear what he said.
Right.
You know how many people do that to folks and do it to themselves? I'm going to check this guy. But the fireman is lightning. You're going to check this guy as if you're an authority. I can see that. I can see you know him. You can never let nobody tell you you don't know him. I see him right here. Look, I said this stuff last night. We got the room full of that. Thanks for coming. I'm not even sure what we're doing right now. That was all right. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Look, it's real. Jesus came. He shed his blood. It's not an Easter story, man. It's the redemption of humanity. It's the restoring of mankind. The word redemption, you ever hear this? My Redeemer lives. Jesus, my Redeemer, the Lord Redeemer. It means brought back to original value. So why did we turn the cross into a blessing that we receive called going to heaven instead of a new life restored that we were always intended to live?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Good.
That's good. Come on. If that wasn't that way, he wouldn't say put off the old and put on the new.
Amen.
He wouldn't tell you to no longer be conformed to the world, but transformed by thinking like you never thought before. Get your mind renewed and living different.
Amen.
He wouldn't say things like walk in a manner worthy of him. He's not a legalist. That's not a rule. That's not. He's telling you to see what he paid for, to see who you've always been, to see what you're created to be, and accept it. And yes, and the first song, I am who
I am.
You say I am. Wonder if you and I start saying yes to all his yeses.
Yes.
Wonder if we stop fighting over righteousness, stop fighting over being free and holy and blameless in his sight. We shouldn't be fighting over what Scripture says.
Right.
Look, Colossians 1 with me. I'll make this legal. I'll just please somebody. I'll open up the Bible. They ain't no right to even fight with me. We're going to just handle everything tonight.
Yeah.
You can't even fight with me now. I opened my Bible. He said, well, he covered it, but he didn't even open it. Okay, it's open. No, look now. Colossians 1, verse 21. Look at you. There's a wicked way our minds work, every one of us. It was self-centered, guys, girls. It was self-centered. It was you and me thinking for you and me right out of the gate, way back, as far as you can remember. You needed value, you needed encouragement, you needed support, you needed attention, you needed somebody to tell you you were awesome. And when you got any other message sent to you, it freaked you out, made you insecure, made you feel unworthy, trust your esteem, or hardened your heart, made you a fighter, you determined to push through, and who cares what anybody thinks? But none of those things are why you're here, and none of those things are hinged on truth. They're just man's desolate reaction to survive.
Yeah.
And none of it is the truth. None of it has a thing to do with who we are and why we're here.
Thank you, Lord.
We were enemies and we were alienated. Come on, this isn't my sermon notes. This is right in the book.
Yeah.
We were alienated enemies. Why? Because all the sins you committed, well, that was the fruit of this right here. Enemies in your mind by wicked works. They always think that's pictures of adultery and fornication and murder and rape. No, no, it's just you thinking for yourself and you're made for his image. This is you getting hurt, taking personal what people said, and not ever taking personal what he said.
Wow. Oh, amen.
It's letting one person in your life decide who you are and how you are, but that person named Jesus, that's a problem.
Oh.
Now you think you need counsel, and you're praying for that person to change. And if you've got healthy counsel, they say, man, that person changed. It has nothing to do with the truth about you. Why do you let one person decide who you are and how you are if Jesus is Lord?
Yeah.
And if you find yourself in him, why are you finding yourself through others? And what you're finding is a lie and it's not producing good fruit, so why would you throw it away?
Yes.
Come on, I ain't talking about harder your heart and saying, I don't care what people think. I ain't talking about the people saying, well, I got Jesus. I don't care what they think. I got Jesus. No, no. You won't care what people think. You're hiding behind words.
Yes.
Because if you got Jesus, you're loving people big time.
Yes.
No, seriously. There ain't no person on this planet, if you read your Bible, that really, truly knows the Lord and isn't loving the socks off of people.
Yes.
Yes. There ain't no person on the whole earth that absolutely knows him and it's not manifested this way. Because the whole reason for this is there ain't nobody tucked in the corner or hiding by themselves, just standing Jesus. And then they hard-hearted and hurt. No, I don't go to them. I don't like Christians. Get on my nerves. I just got Jesus. No, you're deceived. You don't have Jesus.
Amen.
You have a language that you're hiding behind.
Yeah.
They're all being straight, and I ain't judging you. Amen. The book will judge you.
Yeah,
you know about the fruit.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. He says, if God loves us this way, guys, ought we not love one another?
Yeah.
He says, any of us that are perfected in love has no reason to be offended in his love.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You guys know, you're in the park, you're hanging out, people can get testy. You got to endure some things, you got to walk through some things. Sometimes you just got to turn the cheek, turn the eye, go to society, you know, in that arena, you got to toughen up, you know, nobody will take advantage, you can knock them out if you have to. But when you look at Jesus, you don't hear none of that.
Amen.
He's standing before Pilate, man. He's getting tore up with accusations. People all sides, this. None of it's true. He don't even say a word. Pilate was marveling. He said, don't you hear the accusation? And in your center.
That's right. That's right.
He's not going to defend himself.
No.
Man.
Right.
He's going to prove who he is
through
the actions of his life.
Yeah.
I found it in 1 Peter 2. And even if men never change their mind and see, one day he'll be judged by him who judges righteously.
Yeah.
It says he simply trusted himself to him who judges righteously.
Yeah.
Now that's what real faith would do, right?
Yes.
Or you need to be right in front of men. Yeah?
Yeah.
You need to save face.
No.
Or do you have a confidence and a conscience before God that says, you know what? He knows the truth. I'm not getting involved. I'm not going to defend myself. Because as soon as I defend myself, I give the right to man to be my judge.
Right.
So I'm not going to be in the corner and I'm not going to defend myself. I'm just going to stand in truth. I'm going to walk this thing out. And time will tell.
Yeah?
It says that only people are going to give glory to God and be like, what for your sake. They're going to see you with him and go, what?
Amen.
Scripture reveals that.
Amen.
They're going to be astounded. They're going to be like, he serious like that? He really did know. What? And I thought he was crazy. I heard a minister say one time, and I thought it was funny. I probably shouldn't say it. People get so nervous because faith is wrapped around going to heaven instead of heaven coming into them. So then they get really touchy. They're like, what are you saying? I ain't going to heaven? And they're ready to fight over this. They like creating doctrine. Once saved, always saved. And fighting over it vehemently. It's a doctrine we made up because people backslide and don't live surrendered.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm probably south enough to be getting in trouble right now, ain't I? Once saved, always saved. Oh, my goodness. Insecure? Just surrender and stop thinking about it. Some kind of fence. There is no fence. The fence belongs to the devil. There's no fence. I'd rather you be hot. I'd rather you be cold. Lukewarm? Come on, that's pretty simple. So are you lukewarm? Or are you white hot and ready to roll? Burning for the Lord. I asked the Lord a long time ago in my bedroom. I said, why? That's weird to me. Why? Why? I don't get it. You got to help me with this stuff, Lord. I said, I'd rather be hot or cold. Lukewarm, I said, I get hot. That's easy. But cold? I didn't get it. I thought, hot, cold? You'd rather be cold than lukewarm? At least lukewarm's halfway to hot. That's what I'm thinking. See, I told you I wasn't too educated. I'm proving it now. You know what the Lord spoke to my heart? You know the understanding that came to me? I'm sitting there and these thoughts come to me. If they're hot, they're hot, and I can make them hotter. If they're cold, I can save them and set them on fire. But if they're lukewarm, it's a chosen position.
Yes.
It's where they've located themselves, and it's no good for nobody, and I can't do anything with it. I'd rather a man be cold than lukewarm, because cold is usually blind and deceived, and I can whack them and save them. But lukewarm is a settled in, chosen, usually aware of position. Because you're convicted enough to be kind of warm, but not surrendered enough to be hot.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? The other thing I heard about lukewarm, that it's a game player. It's a person that's appearing to be something that they haven't given their heart fully to. And that it's a purposed position. And that man is worse off than a man that's cold. Ain't that something? So why would you live there? Look at this. You were an enemy. I was an enemy. In our minds, the way our minds work. Self-centered, man. You were self-centered. I was self-centered from the time you can remember. Your mama took your binky. You weren't done with it, man. You were... the truth?
Yeah.
What's the first things kids learn to say? No, my head. You ever see a little tiny baby take a swing?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, they didn't even ever watch the UFC. They never saw a cage match. But you don't even want to get in there with them. They're ready to fuck you and they're this big. You take their little cuppy. Hey, that cuppy. Time to go to bed, honey. My cuppy in my bed. My cuppy in my bed. No, I don't want you to have a cuppy in the bed tonight. We're going to let it go. I'm going to say your little prayer. I want to pray. I want a cuppy. Cuppy. Ah! You ever see that? You think God made that? That's every man for himself, man. Adam did that. So don't get discouraged as a parent. Don't get caught up in that thing. Don't think you're failing and don't fight your kid. Just keep modeling Jesus so they see something in you that they want. And just keep loving them and treat them like they're the best on the planet. And one day they'll be really little. say, Mommy, you're so different to me. Well, you just did. And they start explaining what they mean. My boy, when he was 8, pulled me in a room. He said, Daddy, can we talk? I said, yeah. 8 years old, he pulls me in a room. He says this. He says, I don't understand how you don't get mad. That's good, and that's your boy telling you that. Everyday home situations. I don't understand why you don't get mad. I hear some things Mommy says sometimes to you, and I would be really mad. Kids, just honest as can be, he says, I don't understand, Daddy, how you're not mad. He said, right now, I am so mad at my sister. I said, man, let's sit up in bed and talk about it. I told him why I'm not mad. I told him how I surrendered my life and nobody owes me a thing. And I didn't wake up for your mommy to do one thing for me. I woke up to shine, to be like him. I woke up to manifest his name. I ain't tricked into this. I love you. You love me. My love you ain't got no string attached to it. When I used to do weddings, I say love only ever says one thing. Before I tell you what it is, let me tell you what it never says. It never says, I love you. Do you love me? It only ever says, I love you.
Yes.
And that's all it ever says. Because greater love hath no man than this. That it would lay down his life for a friend. When you say that you love me, all you're saying is, I love you for me. I love you for how you make me feel. I love you for what you do for me. Man, I feel so secure with you. I love you. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't know what I'd do without you. Whoo, you work it in me. And you know what you are? On the thinnest ice you've ever been in. Because as much as they're making you, they run the risk of breaking you in a moment. And all of a sudden your ship is pulled out from underneath you and you're sinking fast. Because you were finding yourself through them. Instead of already found yourself through him. Oh, come on, I'm preaching to you right now. I'm helping somebody. We've all been caught up in this thing. We call it love, but come on, it's serious need most of the time. That's why you can sleep together and make children together and not even talk anymore. But it was working that night. You can't say you fell out of love because love never fails.
Amen.
Well, I just don't think I love you anymore. No, you never did. Or you let your heart get clouded over with personal selfish stuff and now you're shaded and jaded and you can't see clear. People under so much pressure because we don't understand love. Sometimes we think love is attraction and hair and figure and women are under so much pressure. And everybody's telling you you're so beautiful in your 20s, 30s. Now you're hitting 40, you're insecure, you're checking yourself when nobody's looking, doing extra workouts to try to keep that thing going. Because you think love is hinged on your appearance. And you want to be able to turn his head. Man, if he was anything like Jesus, he'd have never had it any other direction. I've been around. I've been in this thing. I watched too much hurt. I've watched us hurt each other way too much in the church. And I've seen the world's way our way. Heard counsel in the church that grieves my heart. Well, God doesn't expect you to put up with that. Well, you shouldn't be. Well, how long? Well, you only got one life to live. Well, you and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Where was it ever? Their life? What do you mean God don't expect? And if he felt that way, why do you even have grace? You'd be cut off. So where's this counsel coming from? Don't you get nervous in this room if you got that stuff in your history. Don't you get condemned. Just make sure you don't live that way anymore. You say, you know what? I'm done selling cheap because I'm not for sale. And if you made those kind of things, just deal with your heart. Say, wait a minute. I got so many testimonies now of people watching this YouTube. YouTube is ridiculous. People put me on that YouTube, and so I'm in my garden working, preaching all over the world. It's crazy. I get emails from all over the world. I mean, intense emails. Like, people say, I'm crying real hard right now as I'm writing. And they're not asking for nothing. They're just saying thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is crazy. I'm out working in my garden, preaching all over the world. Yeah. It's cool. I don't even own a computer.
Yeah.
I'm such a caveman. I finally got a cell phone. I've traveled all over the country since 2008. I got a cell phone. I'm on my third year with a cell phone. I keep it quiet.
Yeah.
I don't carry it with me in the room the whole weekend. I just have it because I need it sometimes when I travel, because you can't even find a payphone. Young people say, what is that? You wouldn't even know how to look a payphone. Because it's not digital. It's not. It's manual. You'd be lost. I think of poor Clark Kent. He's running all over the earth and can't manifest. Clark Kent can't manifest. He can't fight no evil no more. There's nowhere to. There's no phone booth in the world. Clark is just running, man. No wonder things is getting bad, man. Clark can't find a booth. I thought about old Clark Kent. I thought, what's he doing these days? Running, looking. That's messed up. I'm the only man. It's 5 years I saw in an airport on a payphone. I'm the only man. People walk by you and look at you funny, like you're an outcast. Because you're on a payphone. They're like, that man ain't got no cell phone. They're like, how's he even know how to work that thing anyway? Them things work. And they're talking, people looking at you. I finally got a cell phone. I don't have a computer, but I'm all over that thing. And them people, they send me testimonies. I've gotten testimonies. I've had people come up to me in meetings crying together, holding hands. We were legally divorced. Year and a half, 2 years. The last one was a year and a half. The one right before that was 2 years. Didn't see each other from the time we walked out of court. Was sure we hated each other. Bumped into your YouTube stuff. And started to cry and say, oops. If I had this in my heart then, I wouldn't have been what I was then. I would have seen different. And something rekindled in their heart and their life towards the other. And I have people coming back together who have official signed divorce papers, getting back together and getting remarried. It's absolutely incredible. What I've learned is most of us hang around Jesus but don't get close enough to him to get filled with him. So as soon as we split up with the significant, we already with the significant. So if God would redeem something, there'd be nothing to come back to because we're already hooked up sometimes before the divorce papers are signed. That concerns me. I'm not judging. That concerns me. We reveal that we're lonely. We reveal that we need somebody. That somebody is him. I promise you. Because without him being the Lord of your life, how can you even do justice to another?
Amen.
Listen, if I was a young man, right? I'm a young man. I got my eyes looking. I'm thinking, man, I want a girl in my life, right? I wish we'd get this. So I'm eyeing up the girls when I'm a young man. I'm like, yeah, good. But watch this.
If I ain't got Jesus in my life, I ain't got nothing to give her.
Amen.
And she might think I'm cool. She might. No. How much have you seen that wear off? I can't even give a person Jesus unless he's in me, dominating my life. You shouldn't even be looking for something that ain't filled with you. In fact, I know this is true. There ain't nobody on the earth with the job description to meet your need.
That's right.
There was nobody born, hand selected by God, to serve you and meet your need. And that's what we do to each other. That's why we argue. That's why we fight. That's why we go to bed with unresolved conflicts. That's why we give each other treatments.
That's why we control and manipulate emotionally. We got to change it out. Is it skipping out too much? We're doing that. It was doing that this morning, man. I don't think it's the batteries. It's something else. I don't like it. I don't like a handheld. All that blood Jesus shed to get me free. And then you put a chain on me. I need the worship team up here to sing about the blood. We got to get this thing out of my head. Oh, man, brother.
Bring it back.
Help me, Jesus. You all that understand prayer, you better pray for me. We'll do all right. We're in the groove. We're flowing. Ain't nothing, ain't no handheld's going to stop this. Oh, my goodness. A second ago, we were enemies in our mind by the wicked works we were thinking. That's the motive of our life. Do you understand that every man's motive in the earth was selfish from birth?
Yeah.
Do you understand the biggest problem on the planet is that every day men wake up and live for themselves when they're made for God's image? Watch. And worse yet, we go to church, serve in ministry, and live for ourselves when we're made for His image. So we let the things we do for Him and in His name take the place of knowing Him and being transformed by Him. Yeah. So in a sense, we live as concubines, not brides.
Wow.
We serve Him and hope to experience Him now and then. It's a concubine mentality. We're going to wait on the Lord. We're going to serve Him. We're going to do things for Him. And every once in a while, brush against His glory. That's a concubine in the Old Testament. Some of them kings had 300 concubines, man. And then honestly, when you read, it's like, man, them dudes. They were sexually active dudes, man. They were like calling women into their chambers all the time. But you got 300 concubines, you might not have your name called for 6 months at a time. Unless He really likes you. Bring me that one. I forget her name, but bring her. This is tough, man. Help me, Jesus. It's a concubine the whole time. They're in the king's palace the whole time. They're under the authority of the king the whole time. They're doing things the king needs the whole time. They're serving Him in some way. And you might not even know their name. He might just say, bring me that one with that dark red hair. I can't remember her name, but yeah, bring her here. And then they call her to the king's chambers and she spends a night with the king. She's been serving him for 6 months. And after 6 months, she rubs against the glory of the king for a night. Now she's back to serving. You know, people live that way. They go to an altar and hope to get touched. They hope they sing that song because their hair stands up. And they say, oh, God was there today. Oh, you're my new hero right there. You're my man right there. You think you got this thing fixed?
I'll
let you know if you're my hero. No, no. Before, excuse me, guys. Got to go to the dressing room. Oh, yeah. If I do find one, it ain't going to be available. Clark will be in that thing. I feel bad for Clark, man. I'll pray for Clark. I'm like, dude, Lord, let him find a phone booth. Let's do this. Thanks, guys. You're the best. Okay, so we're alienated enemies in our minds, yet now. It doesn't say you changed. It doesn't say you thought any different. Uh-oh, that's amazing. Bill, you didn't change your mind. Yet now, in that state, yet now, He's reconciled. Why would God reconcile, pay a price through the blood of His Son to reconcile people that have an alienated mindset? Because He knows they're more than that. Yeah. And He knows what they can be. Yeah. And see, my whole life, preachers made the cross all about my sin and that I was a sinner and God wanted to forgive me and send me to heaven. So all I ever knew was forgiveness and it left me a forgiven sinner. But I was confused because I wondered why He'd love a perpetual forgiven sinner, why He would just keep forgiving me. And I felt like I couldn't do anything to change and the desires of my that I had. I didn't feel like changing, and I was confused, and everybody just made it all about forgiveness in heaven. Forgiveness in heaven. But I was the same man. So you don't have to believe me. Time will tell. I'm 24 years in. I am the same man. I am not the man that I was prior to June 9th of 9th, or June 11th, I think it was. I always said 9th, but it was actually I looked on the calendar because I thought, I hope I got that date right. It's June 11th. It was a Sunday night. It was 1995. I know who I was when I went to work. I lived with me for 33 years. I know who I was, but I've lived with me for the last 24.
Yeah.
And I didn't like me for those first 33. And without being vain and vanity, I like me now. I do. It's important that you like who you are in Jesus. That you like hanging out with you. I'm going to go to bed tonight with me. I'm going to wake up with me. I'm going to go brush my teeth. Look in the mirror. It's going to be me. Woo! I'm happy about that. Because I like me now.
Yes.
I ain't got secrets.
Yes.
I ain't got regrets.
Yes.
I ain't got closet doors that I'm afraid somebody's going to open. I'm in the light.
Yes, Lord.
Like he's in the light.
Yes.
And I got fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses me. I ain't on my phone. Nope. Why? Because I'm a legalist? Because I'm disciplined? Because I know I am. I have way too much value to be looking at that stuff and exploiting people and not having a heart of mercy and feeling bad for everybody that's trapped. I see something different now. Oh, it used to get my attention. Now it breaks my heart. Why? Because I know who I am now. Because I found him. And I didn't realize this, guys, but when I went after finding him, I didn't realize I was going to find me in him.
Amen.
So when I found him, I found me. And the last 24 years has been on me. And people say, oh, it ain't that way. You know, you're always going to have your highs and lows. Brother, we've got the dark season of the soul. I don't even have a clue what you're talking about. I can't find it in. Go on looking. I got Jesus. I got joy inexpressible. I got good tidings of great joy. I'm not being mean. You look at the average church attender. He does not have an impressive countenance that's making the world thirsty for Jesus. Worship leaders can tell you. They got to try to plow the room just to get participation. They got to work the room just to get people engaged. And they're looking to hit that moment where everybody responds. Man, if we were walking in fellowship with him, we wouldn't even need. We'd just be. I'm just not being mean. I'm being real. We have not been the most joyous people on the planet. Why? Because we're letting life speak louder than truth. We're letting what we're going through decide who we are and how we are. We're not letting what he went through define us. We're getting tricked into messages that just get us to come to God for what he can do for us. And now we're disappointed. Tomorrow, discouraged people are going to go to church. You read your Bible and it's unscriptural.
That's right.
Oh, I can give you scripture on it. I've read the book.
Yeah.
Let me throw one at you. Verse 12. You look to him. He's the author, the finisher of your faith.
Yes.
Through the joy that was set before him, despised the shame and went and passed through, right? Yeah? Next verse. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, lest you be discouraged and weary in your soul. What's he saying? You better consider you take life personal. You better consider him before you let somebody and how they're acting and treating decide your life. You better look to him and not be deceived.
Right.
99.9% of my counseling appointments in my pastoral life was people having issues with people.
Yeah.
And it proves we don't understand why he came. And we haven't become what we're singing. We've become what we've been through. And some of us are even mad at God and disappointed, and we don't even pray like we used to and go this way because we think he let so-and-so die and he didn't give me my new job. If my house wouldn't have been foreclosed, came through, and I don't know why I put 6 applications. I don't know why God, what he's trying to teach me, but I'm just, yeah? I've seen it over and over and over. And the more your heart gets twisted up like that, the farther you back off and the more things fall apart. And now it's all somehow him.
Yeah.
And all he's ever done is while you were an enemy in your mind, reconcile you and pay the price to reconcile, and now your own mind is still your enemy.
Yes. Yeah.
Ain't that something? Do you think he sent his son while you were yet a sinner to place your rage with you now that you're saved? And mess with your head. It's because preacher after preacher have preached messages, not meaning it, it's not intentional. We just preach messages that serve us without transforming us. So you got a lot of Christians that feel discouraged and failed. So we sing songs, he ain't never failed me yet. And there's people all through the congregation that can't enter in because they're thinking of 3 ways where they think he failed. Because they heard messages that benefit them without transforming them. And all of a sudden you're a Christian for what he can do for you instead of how he can make more like him. Y'all good? He reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death. That's pretty radical. He must see something about us. When I tell you this stuff, I'm not mad at preachers. I'm just telling you it was my life and it's a lot of your lives. That's why I say it. No preacher ever told me in my life. My mama took me to church all my life and switched out churches to try to keep me engaged. She took me to one as I got in my teens in a big youth group thinking that would impress me. And I went there because there were a ton of young girls there. And I thought that was awesome. And some of them girls liked me, so I came back. It was messed up. I'd go to youth group. They'd ask me to teach a lesson in youth group. I'd teach the lesson. Couldn't wait to sneak out. I'd take them one of them girls back out somewhere. I'm being real. Is it all right if I'm real? You want me to be plastic? The whole time I'm doing that, God ain't saying, look at you, you knucklehead. Where sin was abounding, guess what grace was doing? Coming more. Coming more. You're more than that, boy. You don't have to live there. You don't have to say that. Man, before I was saved, I'd say 5 curse words to say 3 or 4 English. I just figured that was cool, and that's what you did in the warehouse. I was so selfish. I believe I was the selfishest man in the world. I was never satisfied. My wife owed me everything. My kids owed me. Everybody was on eggshells around me. I'd come home. My kids would leave the room because they were afraid to be in a room where I was. You say, I can't even picture you like that. It's because I'm born again. Now I go in a room and kids run to me and gravitate to me. I was in Arkansas and I put my stuff. I didn't know where I even knew I was walking. They didn't know I was there or who I was. I laid my stuff down right where you're sitting in the front. Girls there talking to a lady with her baby on her shoulder. And that little baby's looking at me. I said, hey, beautiful. Jesus loves you so much. He loves you so much. You're so precious. She's tiny. She goes, she's crawling, trying to get over her mom. Whoa! She's coming at me. And her mom says, honey. She says, her mom freaks out. She says, whoa! I said, honey, I'm the guest speaker. Just the guest speaker. I was just loving on your little baby. She said, no, I'm freaked out. She doesn't go to anyone. She clings to me. She won't even go to my girlfriends. Why would she come to you? She ain't coming to me, ma'am. That's just what I said. She ain't coming to me. Can I hold her? She said, I don't even believe this. I said, believe it. She ain't coming to me. She came right to me. I went like this. She laid her head tight on my shoulder and tucked it into my neck and just nestled and laid still. And I just rocked her like a tour about Jesus. She said, she ain't never done that to nobody. I said, I ain't the fuck. Woo! Suffer not the little to come unto me. Man, smiling, I'm your grandkids. I was tearing it up with them. They'd let me hold them. I could tell. It was like, girl, she's running to me. She just ranks me, mama. She sees me over there. She's... He is reconciled. Who's reconciled? He is in the body of his flesh through death. Why would he do that if he didn't think what he was paying for was worth possessing? Did you ever write a check for something you didn't think was worth it? You just wrote the check because you felt like it? Come on, I know us guys. Man, you burked that man. That man's trying to make a commission, feed his family. You got Kelly Blue Book. You got your computer out there. You got this man down to rock bottom. You don't write the check until you know you got the best deal in town. You don't care if he ain't eating. You willing and did. Then nobody walked up to that used car. You Blue Booked it. You thought, wow. 8-9 Blue Book. 8-7 Blue Book, good tradition. Wow. 8-9 Blue Book, 8-7 window. Guy comes out, hey, man, that's a nice car. Now remember, 8-9 Blue Book, 8-7 window. This is us, man. And you're like, that's a really nice car. What do y'all got in it? Oh, man, we ain't gonna make much on it. We got it, da-da-da. And you think, yeah. And I'll tell you what. I'll give you 8 for it if you can cover the taxes and the transfer tag titles. Isn't that what we do? Blue Books, it's 8-9. No, it's 8-7. You offer an 8 and you want them to cover the taxes and tax. There ain't nobody in this room that ever walked up there and saw 8-7 and said, ooh, Blue Book, 8-9. The man comes out and says, hey, nice car, ain't it? Yeah, that's a nice car. You think you want it? I do want it. All right, man, well, listen, that price is firm. No, dude, I'll give you 95. But Jesus, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. God shed blood to pay for you. He must think your purpose, your potential, your destiny is worth his price.
Yes.
You better take this person.
Yes.
He must think your life lived is worth dying because he knows what you look like when he's in you and you're surrendered.
Yes.
So he's going for it. He's going for potential.
Yes.
He's going to love. Never fail. He's going to pay for do what he knows you're worth to him because he knows what you can be if you'll ever see. And you might never see, you might never yield, you might never change, but he paid it because he knows the truth about you.
Yes.
So he opened the door for possible.
Yes.
And it's up for every man to believe.
Yes.
Ain't that something?
Yes. Hallelujah.
In the body of his flesh through death. Uh-oh. Why'd he do it? Just a minute ago, you were alienated, an enemy. Your mind was all twisted up. And guess how he's going to present you now through the body of his flesh, through death. We sang these songs tonight. We sang this truth tonight several times. What's he going to present you? Holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Dash, there's a condition. If indeed you continue believing it. Let me paraphrase it. If you continue believing it, grounded and steadfast, and don't let anything change your mind.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. You're holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight if you continue believing it, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel in which you heard. Isn't it amazing you can go to church your whole life and never hear that?
Yeah.
Well, they gave me a mic tonight. You're going... That truth is what's wrong with me. That truth is why I have uncontainable passion. It's why I can't calm down that much.
Amen.
That truth is why I'm the way I am. I sit on a plane and I try to calm down and they ask me how I'm doing. And I say, well, hanging in there, man. Just
yeah.
They sit down and put on the seatbelt and they're inside. That's why he... I've never seen nobody get out the little windows. They say, how you doing, man? Why were you in town? That's like a pool court dog with a mile-long string. And they say, how were you doing? And you know what happened? 7 minutes, not a joke. About 5 to 7 minutes, they're going, gee, you're really passionate. I say, oh, man, you're passionate. I say, man, I'm trying to actually not express that because I didn't want to overwhelm you with passion and play your emotions. You actually see passion. Dude, if you're trying to calm down, oh, I'm way calm. Way calm. But you know, and in 5 to 7 minutes, I'll say, you know what I see? And I'll usually have a detail, insight, or information about them that only they know. And Jesus will rock them right there. And now they're trembling and crying. And they know that it's the Lord. Because they didn't tell me, I told them. And then you got their hand, and then his presence gets involved. And now they don't even know what to do but sit there tremble and cry. And then you go to get off the plane and you got people tapping you and waiting on the joke, trembling and asking you for prayer because you loved on one person beside you because they asked you how you're doing. That sure beats being fear-driven. That sure beats having unresolved conflicts in your marriage, ticked off at your kids. It's mad that you have to travel and that person butted in front of you to get to the same plane you're going on so they could get the bag in and you couldn't. Now you got to go 2 bays back and fight the crowd when you land and you got that thing wrecking your whole disposition. You're sitting a little too close to the pooper and it stinks and you're bothered. Oh, come on. We're pretty shallow sometimes. All of a sudden, I'm like, God, I thought you loved me. How come I got to sit in the middle? Well, somebody does. Why can't it ever be you? Listen, stop praying for all that stuff. It's not what faith is. Faith is not for you to get a green light. If God gives you one, fine. But just understand, when you're green, somebody's is red, and you ought to think about that. Why is it always about you getting the best and the most? That kind of gives our theology away, doesn't it? You always want the best parking. You'll drive around in Walmart, don't even believe in tongues, and you'll try to pray just to get the spot. I heard somebody once, I don't know if it works, but shop, ka, ta, ba, shop, ta. Whoa, they just backed out. Shop, ta, ba. Woo, favor. But here's what you're missing. You got the best parking, somebody doesn't. Man, if you can walk, you ought to park in the back and just let somebody have that spot. Seriously, I mean, I wish we would just stop praying all this stuff that benefits us and doesn't change us. If we change our kids, people would say, shame on you. For them. And then we expect God to do that to us. I'll get off that now. You can all keep on loving me. Don't get mad at me. If you continue in the faith, what are you every day you wake up if you believe this through the blood? Holy? Holy, blameless, and above reproach where? So why couldn't you approach him if you believe that? What's keeping you from him? If that's how you look in his sight. When you're in his presence, that's what he sees through the blood. What? That ought to give you access. That ought to get you up every morning and just look up and go, hey, good morning. I so appreciate you. Thanks for loving me the way you do. Thanks for forgiving me. Thanks for... Boy, that sure beats walking into the kitchen wondering how your spouse... And they were quiet. And now you're different because they were... You're different. And now... They themselves... And now their response dictates your response. Now the psychological war's going on. Now you both go to work and nobody's free. And now you ain't even shining because you got each other on your mind all day. And all of a sudden nobody's getting any seeds sown into them because you're not even walking out your faith. Oh, come on. I'm not that far off, guys. How are you going to wake up every day? holy. It's not blasphemy. Don't be afraid of that. Don't let no preacher talk you out of this. Holy, blameless, above reproach, in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, moved away. You want to do me a favor, since you guys are so quick at that screen? Can you put up 1 Peter chapter 2? You can... Oh, you, yeah, let's have fun. You, I was going to say 22 or 3, but start me in 19. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Y'all ready? Yes. See, we got our Bible open tonight. It's on the wall. Yes. This meeting is so legal. Ain't nobody going to mess with me tonight. That man preached all night, never opened his Bible. They'll say that. Well, no, mine's open. I say, he just read some stuff off the board.
Yeah.
Verse 19. 1 Peter 2. Verse 19. That's chapter 1, isn't it?
Yeah.
1 Peter 2. Thank you. No, you're awesome. You're doing great, man. Hey, if I was back there, we would never get there. Even know they say use the mouse. I'm looking in the corner. I'm looking. They say web page. I thought somebody had a spider in their book. I'm that bad, man. Oh my goodness. Verse 20. Let's do verse 20. What credit is it if when you're beaten for your fault, you take it patiently? Look, I'm not messing with the inmates. I'm not exploiting them right now. You guys did whatever you did. Society, justice, law said, okay, this brings this. You're saying, yes, some of you guys pleaded guilty. Anybody do a guilty plea? Just say, you know what? I ain't fighting this thing. I just did it, right? Okay, watch. What credit is it if you're beaten for your faults? If you take responsibility and pay a price for the thing you did that wasn't correct, right? And you take it patiently. What he's saying is we ought to. Integrity says I need to man up. I need to face the consequences and walk through this season and never look back. I need to get this way, right? That's what you all are doing in Jesus right now, right? That's why I'm pumped that you're here and came up, took time to say, hey, glad you're here. Why? Whatever was, that's nobody's business. That has nothing to do with nothing where I'm concerned with you guys. I'm saying, man, why don't you get a revelation now? Keep moving forward. Grow up into him in all things and never look back. Don't ever again be Lot's wife, stuck between where you came and where you're going. Be his bride and go forward. That's what this is all about. So if you're beaten for your faults, if you're paying repercussions for something you did wrong and you take it patiently, what credit is it to you? You should man up. But here's where it gets amazing.
Come on.
Do you know how people say, I wish I knew my calling. I'm going to show you your calling. But when you do good, when you do good and suffer, if you take that patiently, we're talking about you doing good and somebody calling you good evil, or you taking a hit for doing good, and you take it patiently and don't fight, get an attorney and scratch and scream. When you do good and suffer for doing good and take it patiently, it's commendable before God. Why? For to this you were... See, you're in the world and you're not of the mindset of the world. You're not standing for your rights. You're seeking first the kingdom, not your well-being, the kingdom. Sometimes seeking the kingdom first and not your well-being costs you your well-being in times. Why? Because you're seeking him first. Jesus got many things he didn't deserve. There's things you get you didn't deserve. If you get betrayed and live betrayed, you're revealing you don't know him like you could. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he broke bread and gave his life. On the night he was betrayed, he didn't cry and say, I can't believe you guys are all going to run out on me. He didn't do that. He didn't stand there and break the bread and his lips start trembling. You guys make me so mad. You die for me. There ain't one of you ready to die for me. They're going to strike me tonight and you're all going to run. You know how much that hurts. I thought you were my friends. Come on. When you do good and suffer and take it patiently, it's commendable before God. But this you were what? Called. Why? Because you're going to live sanctified in this life. You're not going to live for your rights. You're going to live for his kingdom. Yeah. You're not going to live for fairness. You're going to live for his kingdom. Yeah. Come on, if you want fairness, you're not getting treated fair by him. You're getting treated righteous.
Yes, you really want fair?
Or do you want righteous justice?
Yes.
Yeah. For to this you were called, because Christ, who are we following? Isn't it all about him? Don't we find ourselves in him? See how he makes us one with him? You're going to live this way because this is the way he lived. See, this thing is going to go to heaven. It's a brand new life. We're following him, not singing to him. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you, me, should follow his steps. See the Coleman? That means this is the 1, 2, 3. Oh, here's his steps. Who committed no sin. You say, well, see, right there, that's impossible, brother, because ain't nobody perfect. We always sin, and we probably sin right now. Sinning while we're breathing. We probably don't even know, but we sinning right now. That's what people say, right? Well, he ain't talking about sinning right now. Here's what he's talking about. Who committed no sin? What he's saying is he didn't let the way he was treated decide the way he was living.
Amen.
In other words, never let sin against him give the right to produce sin in him. He didn't repay evil for evil. He overcame evil good. Are you with me? Now watch this. Nor was deceit found in his mouth. Wasn't bad mouthing nobody. He didn't have no inner circle conversations running people down. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. But he committed himself to him who judges righteously. And now look what he did for the very people that were treating him this way. Don't miss this. The very people that were treating him this way, this is what he did for them. Who himself bore our sins. Where? In his own body on the tree. Where's your and my sin? His body on the tree. That's amazing. Why? Why did he do that? That we, see the comma, that we? Comma? Here's why he did that. That we, having died to sin. Ain't no preacher ever taught me that. They told me I'm always going to constantly sin. The only reason he died is because I'm a sinner. He did not die because I was a sinner. He had to die because I sinned. It's not a play on words. It's a totally different concept. Watch. He had to die because I sinned, but he didn't die because I'm a sinner. He died because I was a lost son. He wanted to restore sonship and get the truth back on me. It doesn't say he came to save who was lost. He came to save that which was lost.
Yeah.
Adam lost something in the garden called his created value and purpose. He got separated from God, and everything God made him to be got changed. And he was made to live forever, and now death came into his life. And because he sinned, death entered the earth. All men die. So, of course, the Redeemer and the blood of Jesus that takes away sin brings man back to the place where there's no death. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's so simple. And this is Christianity. Watch. So, he bore our sin in his body on the tree that we having died to sin. What's he mean by that? Does he mean never ever committing another sin? He means throwing away the identity of sin, the stain of sin, the sting of sin, the desire of sin, the memory of sin, the regret of sin. Just throw away the conscious awareness of sin and however it marked you and tainted your life. You die to all of that.
Yes.
The Bible says in Romans 6, you and me were buried into baptism, into death with Jesus, into baptism, into his death. And the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives unto God because he makes us one. Like you
reckon yourselves
dead
to sin. and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. What's he talking about? Get away from the identity of sin, always going to sin, sonship, holy, blameless, above reproach. Let righteousness produce its fruit to holiness, because he's changed your perspective. He'll change your life. You with me? That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So why do we pray for the sick? Because of the forgiveness of sins. We don't pray for the sick. We think we pray for the sick because they're sick. The reason we should have faith to pray for the sick is because of the forgiveness of sins. They lowered a paralyzed boy through a roof because they couldn't get in. Now you know why they lowered him through the roof. Why'd they take the time to tear off that roof? That's pretty risky. Go up on somebody to tear off the roof to get that boy down in there. That's some friends, ain't it? You want them four boys hanging out with you. Them four boys carry you to Jesus. They can't get through. They can't get in. They say, just go on there and tear that thing off and lower and get him right to Jesus. I said, yes. Right here, all of a sudden, somebody just come down. Shingles everywhere, drywall, drop ceiling. Now, you know why they lowered him in. Why'd they lower him in? To be healed.
Right.
What did Jesus say? Did he say be healed?
Yes.
Like what he said. Take heart, son. Your sins.
Yes.
Yes.
Now you know, if you were one of them four boys, you would not have understood. You'd have been like, hey, great pal, how about getting Barney up, man? You've been healing everybody, man. We didn't bring Barney all the way up there and drop him down in there so you tell him his sins are forgiven. We want him healed. The Pharisees were like, who's this man think he is to forgive sin? There was all kinds of stuff starting in people's minds. And Jesus, what did he say? He said, why do you guys think evil in your hearts? He said, what is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, arise and walk. He knew why they lowered him in. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to teach us. He said, what is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, arise and walk. But to show you that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin, son, rise and walk. And what did the boy do? Why did he rise and walk? Because of the forgiveness of sin. Whoa. You see what happens when you live condemned? You see what happens when you allow guilt to remain on your soul? All of a sudden you don't even feel like you have a right or an access to the things he paid for. You know, you see what happens? You and I as ministers see people for where they've been instead of where Jesus has been. All of a sudden we don't even have faith. We can't even see past where they're at to see where he's at. And we can't even pray for them rightfully because we can't see past them. We have so much teaching on healing through what hasn't happened. The average altar worker usually has three reasons why it ain't going to happen before they even pray, but they pray because they're in that position. And then when it don't happen, they couldn't get healed because they don't have faith. They're scared. You heard the confession in their mouth. I mean, man, they're a million miles from God. He ain't going to touch them with a 10-foot pole. No, you ain't touching them with a 10-foot pole. He wants to touch them through you.
Yeah.
But you're seeing them for where they're at, not where he's at.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. That it's happening. Here's what we're going to do. I got late again tonight. I'm sorry. I fly into town. There's some things you have to put with me. Like, I come all the way down here just to tell you who you are, and I'm looking at all your faces, and we had a good time tonight, and I'm like, it just goes so fast. Tomorrow I'm already going to clean, heading back. I'm thinking, you know what? Let's just go for it. And if you get done before me, you slip out. This thing is just too important. Cut it short. He gave his life for this thing.
Yeah. Yes.
But what we want to do right now is really important. If you guys can come up here and help me. Can you guys help me?
Everybody?
No. Even if just one of you want to come, one of you will be plenty, but you can all come. It doesn't matter. I want to do this tonight, and then we'll go a certain way and we'll pray for everybody, but I want to pray for a certain group of people right now. We just sang about how the blood of Jesus. You guys want to give me is this in and out, ain't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to give me that handheld back? Because the handheld was cutting in and out, I thought.
Yeah, I figured out why the wireless.
Yeah.
Will the handheld work? The handheld is. I thought the handheld was too.
Yeah.
You think that'll work?
Oh, I can handle it. I'll feel free enough tonight. I'll just handle it. Can we go with that? You see? All right. Okay, let's go for it. Now, I want everybody, we didn't come this far to turn back. I want you to hang with me tonight. I want you to be humble. It's going to be really, really good, okay? Really, really good. You just come to help me, little buddy? You and me and the Holy Ghost is plenty. I promise. I promise. Because we got the Holy Ghost. That's really all we need is the Holy Ghost is here. There is some. He anointed us to proclaim things. He gives men giftings. Music is awesome and powerful. Who enjoyed worship tonight? Right? The Bible says mercy triumphs over judgment. What that means is in society you might get what you deserve. The law might hold you accountable to the point where you have to get what you deserve. In the kingdom, you don't get what you deserve. In the kingdom, I honestly deserve death. And I have everlasting life. It's that crazy extreme. I deserve judgment. But because of his mercy, when I say in the kingdom, in spiritual thinking, I'm not saying in the kingdom. It's because of the kingdom I have everlasting life. In the kingdom I have everlasting life. I want you to understand what I meant. In the earth, if I commit a crime, justice and court and law says it's going to cost me this. But when I repent and mercy triumphs over judgment, I stand before him who judges righteously. He doesn't give me what I deserve. He gives me what he paid for. It's absolutely amazing. Now, this is what I've seen way more than I have time to talk about. I've been very active in my life. I've been preaching this thing. I've been praying for lots of folks. I've been sowing a lot of seed for a lot of years. And I've been privileged to see a lot of things. I've seen so many hepatitises, STDs, cutter scars, things we brought upon our lives through poor choices. And I've seen mercy come and triumph over judgment and take away what we earned. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, behold, how many? Okay, back up. Old things, behold, become. So if you live promiscue and you got a HPV going on, and you got some incurable thing, and now it's in your nervous system, and now they're saying it's going to cut 10 years off your life because one of your major organs is affected. The gospel doesn't see you for promiscue. The gospel sees you for his son. So if mercy triumphs over judgment, and God will never bring up the promiscuity once you repent and say, God, I wish I didn't, man. If I knew what I knew, I wouldn't have. Yeah. Who's ever come to this place in your life you say, man, I learned this lesson late. If I saw this then, I wouldn't have did it then. If I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't have been where I've been. Who's ever had that encounter in their life? Yeah. Who's ever had a sober moment and you said, man, I learned a painful lesson, but I learned something nonetheless. If I could redo that, it would look different. Who's ever had a sincere moment like that? But here's the thing. You can't go have the new moment. You can't take back what you've done. You can't take back what you said, what you did, where you've been. So you can't change that, can you? So in the world, the only answer you have is regret. But in the kingdom, you have repentance. And all of a sudden, you can sincerely be sorry for where you've been. You can sincerely be sorry for what you've done. And you can change the way you think about that and go, wow, I wish I could redo that. Oh my goodness, I'd do that different. Once that happens in you, guess what? You're not the person that did that anymore. Here's the power of the gospel. You can't can't change where you've been, but who you are can change. And when who you are changes, where you've been is never the issue, it's who you've become. So watch this. The scripture teaches that God will never judge you for where you've been through the blood. He'll judge you for what you've become.
Yes.
So if he won't judge you for where you've been, why is where you've been still judging you?
Amen.
If anyone's in Christ and they're a new creation, and all things pass away, and all things become new, then all things is all things, and all things is of God.
Amen.
So shouldn't that thing from yesterday leave?
Yes.
Shouldn't HIV go?
Yes.
Shouldn't the blood disease go?
Yes.
There's somebody that might relate to this in the room. You've partied, you've gotten high, you've gotten strung out on things, man, you went for it. You were like a partier. But there was a night where you went farther than you ever went before. And you just got blasted, man. You went farther than you ever went before. And you just realize since that night, you haven't been the same. Your concentration, your memory. There's just something about your focus, your concentration. It's just something's different because of that night. I'm using that as an example. As I'm using it, I'm feeling like it's actually a word of knowledge for somebody here. This is what I'm talking about. I'm telling you tonight, God can touch you by His Spirit and make it like you never had that night.
Yes.
I've seen this so much in my life. I'm not making light of it, and I'm not being arrogant. It's an amazing, awesome thing. I've seen it so much in my life because I preach it with passion.
Yes.
I believe it with all my heart. I've seen people trash their memory, and they get such a clear mind and focus. I prayed for a man. He couldn't even concentrate at all. Next time I saw him, he was the head usher overseeing the annual schedules and overseeing four teams of men. And he couldn't even hold a thought. Because he used these certain drugs that blew his mind. And Jesus went, yeah? I'm just telling God, see, incurable diseases healed all the time through this one truth. If God won't judge you for where you've been, then why is where you've been judging you? If mercy triumphs over judgment, I bet His mercy is greater than the lack of mercy out there.
Yeah.
You know how many people live things and deserve a mark and never got one? And then there's some people, they just as soon as they cross the line, bam, the thing did them for keeps. Why? They ain't no mercy out there. I met a lady in a service who had never had a sexual sin in her life. The only man she ever knew in her life was her husband. Now, the world calls that boring, but he calls it holy. We got a problem when they're in their early 50s. He leaves her for a 35-year-old. Now she's heartbroken. And Devin, now her womanhood is in question. Now she's older. She ain't had one sexual sin in her whole life. She told me she had never done anything to violate her conscience sexually. And the only man she knew was her husband, and she didn't know him till they had that covenant called marriage. And now he left her, and she's broken, and she's vulnerable, and this fella comes along and says the things she needs to hear. And in no time, she's in a bed with that man. She's in her early 50s. She ain't never done nothing like this. Can you imagine this girl? The horror of her soul in this thing, because this man is with her and they're functioning, and it hits her. She goes, and she realizes what she's doing, and then it ain't the answer. She was graphic with me. She said, I pushed him off, cried uncontrollably, grabbed my things, and ran. But we got a problem, because in a few weeks she's breaking out with symptoms of stuff. She don't know what's going on, and she goes to her family doctor who knows her, and he comes out and says, we need to talk. What's going on with you? Where have you been? What's up? What's the matter, doctor? You have an incurable STD. It's in your nervous system. It's going to take years off of your life. Where did you get that? And she cried and cried and cried and cried. She crossed that line for 45 seconds, she told me. but it was long enough to get bit for keeps. 45 seconds in her whole life, and that thing bit her for keeps. And I'm in a service like this, and I'm walking to pray, and she grabs me by the arm and says, "I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of girl." And I'm like, oh. It just rips your heart, because you know what she's saying. And I said, "Honey, you don't have to tell me that." "No, I don't." She told me the whole story in my ear. Now she really got my heart. So I said, "You let her go. Come out of her." I got really strong with her. With that thing, not her. I had her, made her look at me because she told me the story. Now she can't look at me. Why? She's relating to the sin. And I said, "Honey, look at me." And she couldn't even look at me. I took her chin and made her look at me. Why? She said she's not that kind of girl. She can look at me. What she did ain't who she is. She got trapped in a moment of vulnerability. I'm not making an excuse for her. I'm telling you, his mercy is greater than her mistake. Her heart is so broken. Her heart is so broken. How much does she have to cry? Believe me, she already has the attention of his heart. And he's in me, and this thing's on now. So actually, you don't have to agree with me. I'll just tell you what I said. I said, "You look at me, honey." And she couldn't look at me, and I made her look at me. And I said, "This thing's coming out of you. Do you hear me?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "No, no, listen to me. Look at me. It's coming out of you. And there ain't nothing nobody can do about me." And I just said, "Come out of her." And there wasn't no thunder, no lightning. We didn't need no ushers. I just walked on by. I met her 6 weeks later. She came running to me. "Yeah. Pastor, Pastor, yeah. Guess what? Guess what?" I said, "What?" She said, "They ran every sort of test 3 times. Yeah. Negative, well, negative, yeah. Negative. Yeah. Oh, had me stay real calm. And I wasn't being arrogant. And he was still teaching her. I said, and they always teaching me, I said, "Of course it's not there. Do you know why?" She said, "Yes, because he is awesome and merciful and loving and kind." And she began to worship God. Who knows, her answer was right. But I said to her, I said, "Well, honey, your answer's right, but that's not the answer I was looking for." She looked at me puzzled. I said, "Do you want me to tell you why that's not there?" She looked at me puzzled again, like, "I already told you. Because he's merciful. Who knows, she's right." Here's the wisdom of the Lord. I said, "Honey, everything you said about him is true. Your worship was just. But everything you said about him needs a place to land in your life. It's one thing for me to tell you God's merciful, but are you receiving his mercy? It's one thing for me to say God loves you, but are you being loved by God?" I looked at her. I said, "Let me tell you why that's not in your blood." I tipped her little chin again, and I looked in her eyes, and I said, "Because you're not that kind of girl." She needed that, didn't she? Because that thing was still trying to bite her. And she's still feeling guilty, and like she lived her whole life a certain way. And she crossed that one little line, that thing keeps trying to bite her. And Jesus had me tell her, "The reason it ain't in you, it's because you ain't that kind of girl." Isn't that sweet? With Brother Plan back here, doing a great job, by the way.
Yeah.
This is real, this ain't a joke. I need your humility. It don't matter where you've been, what you've done. It's none of our business. I'm not asking no questions. It's none of my business. And ain't nobody in this room has the right to judge nobody, because everybody in this room sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And there's a ton of people sitting here that deserve a mark. I'm one of them that deserve a mark and never got one. And there's some people that barely crossed the line and got burned. There's some people that crossed the line and lived across the line and got burned. But you're saying, "Man, if I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't have lived what I lived at." Now I need your humility, and I need you to get up here and receive redemption. I'm telling you, things are coming out of people's bodies and coming out of people's lives because the train's rolling. I need somebody to be bold and get up here. You're carrying something in your body, in your life, because of former choices and lifestyle. And you need that thing out of your life. I need you all up here right now. Come on, get up here. Don't you stay in your seats.
I need everybody up here that's carrying anything in their life that has to do with yesterday's mistakes. This ain't a regular healing service. I said to God, don't just come up here because you need healing. We're going to pray by in a minute. I only want you up here is if your actions, your comings, your goings marked you in a way where you're carrying something into your born-again life that is a result of yesterday's mistakes and sin. Get up here quickly. I need you all up here, everybody that fits this. Please don't stay in your chair. Don't make me go fishing. I'm a real good fisherman. No, I'm serious. Don't make me go fishing. Just why wouldn't you just get up here? Get up here. If you feel like you need to cry, make sure your tears are healthy tears. Tears of mercy and forgiveness and God's love for you. Understand that He loves you. He's not mad at one of you. That He's here to make things new. He's here to take you back to original value. As if you've never made a mistake or sin. Why? Because you're washed in the blood and you're innocent. Are you with me? Thanks for coming up here, guys. Thanks for being humble. I know it's hard for some of you. It was a little challenging, yeah, you see, wasn't it? But y'all came. I'm so proud of you. I'm glad you came. Because this is not a game. I criticize you enough to talk you out of where your heart's going, man. He's got a hold of you. I see it when I looked in your eyes. I'm telling you, He's washing you clean, spirit, soul, and body. He's taking away the mark, the stain. He's washing through your blood. He's healing you on the inside. I'm telling you this. I see this. Your organs are even being restored. It's not going to be like you've ever done anything to your body outside of Him. Right now, He Himself is making you whole. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you for wisdom beyond his years, beyond his study. I thank you for a heart that just sees, a heart that just understands. Let him be a testimony to others. Let his life inspire others. I feel like in a season in your life where you were responsible for taking some people down, God's going to flip that around and cause you to lift thousands of people up, man. I'm telling you, there's a turnaround in your life. And you just got a belief for mercy on some of the things in your history. There's some things you really can't just go back and patch up and make right if you don't have that opportunity, that voice. That's where you got to trust God, that He's just going to show mercy and change things for His name's sake. But you, sir, are to live every day like a new day. And you're to look up from whence came your help, and you're to live your life in Him. I see your life becoming influential. And I see God lifting people up because of how He's lifted you out. And I see Him giving you that kind of influence. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen? Yeah. If you could go back and change some things, you would, wouldn't you? Would it look different? Would your story look a little different? Yeah? I want you to say this right now from your heart. Close your eyes. Forget about me. Forget about people. Just be with Him. Let this be personal. You can close your eyes. If you don't have to be personal, don't close your eyes. But if that's the way to just tuck away right now, just close your eyes and tuck away. I want everybody up front to say this with me. Say, Father, thank you for forgiving me for everything I've ever done. Your scriptures reveal you're not mad at me. You love me. You came searching for me. I wouldn't even want you if you didn't draw me. And if you didn't want me, you wouldn't have drawn me. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for forgiving me. Thanks for making all things new. Thanks for cleansing me through the blood of Jesus and making me whole tonight. Let's say this: spirit, soul, and body, blameless till you come, as if I've never sinned, cleansed completely. My conscience, my spirit, my flesh, because of the blood of Jesus, I receive it in Jesus' name. I'm just going to pray some over you guys. Yeah, it's really good. Father, I thank you not one mark can remain up front here in one person's life. Not one mark from yesterday. Total redemption, total wholeness, and total freedom. I don't have to touch y'all. I just pray. If I touch it, it's because I want to, or I'm just feeling impressed to. Clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, I just thank you right now for washing through your people. I just thank you right now for taking every mark away, every stain, everything of yesterday. I thank you, God, that we have the grace, the strength, the unveiled face to look up, to run to you, to be yours all the days of our life. I thank you not one thing about where we've been will hinder where we're going. And I thank you not one thing will show its face about yesterday. My body is clean. My life is redeemed. My flesh is made pure. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Man, you guys are from a group. This is awesome. I can tell you from a ministry, right? Yeah, is it recovery? Is it? Yeah, proud of you. You have no idea. There's so many lies in the lifestyle that we've lived in recovery. There's so many lies. Don't believe lies. If your mind isn't being edified and encouraged in what you're thinking, then it ain't the truth. You have every reason to be on fire, every reason to have hope, every reason to live different and make new choices. The blood of Jesus was speaking for you when you didn't even care. Come on, man. The blood of Jesus was shed when you didn't have a clue. Yeah? And you just got to come in here just a little bit, son. I need to lay my hand on you. In Jesus' name, be completely clean. Wash through and through. Yeah? Because he loves you. Yeah, you guys, you all be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Not one mark remained yesterday, swallowed up by the mercy of God. I declare this over your life, son, in every way, mercy triumphing over judgment. I even see the restoration of some family and some relationships. Don't you try to make it happen. Don't you be insecure. You watch what God does. He is busy making you what you're called to be. You watch what he does in the hearts of people. Don't you fret. Don't you worry. I see the redemption of things that have been dear to you, some folks that you've regretted hurt. I see God restoring the breach, just fixing things because he wants to. Yeah. You don't have to do a thing. You just stay in him and you keep becoming the man he paid for. And everything else, I'm telling you, is going to fall in place. Man, is his hand on your life. Be absolutely redeemed and restored, people. Be absolutely redeemed and restored. Yeah. Yeah. Completely whole. Completely clean. Through and through. Thank you, God. Yep, he's doing it, girls. Nobody needs to touch you. He'll touch you. Holy Spirit, come. Come. Yeah, clean, clean, clean all the way through. Completely clean. Spirit of God, come. Yeah? His name, clean. Yeah, I love you so much. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah. No regrets in your life, right? No regrets. Man, as soon as I laid my hands on you, I heard the Lord say to me, if she knew then what she knows now, no doubt this would be different. That means they're different now. Because you're changed. And you're going to keep growing. Don't you fear. Don't you look back. You just keep being amazed by him and his love. And I see him making your life amazing. These aren't fancy words. These aren't motivational speaking kind words. This is what I see. I see that when you were very young, your esteem took a hit. I see that when you were very young, you had a hard time standing courage. It was almost this thing that came upon you. You actually, I even see it when you were like 10, 11, 12. It was this thing. It was this cloud over you. It would just cover you like a basket or a mask or a cloud. And you didn't know what it was, but you could feel it. It almost seemed like it numbed you. It put you in this place. It almost felt like nobody could see you and like you couldn't feel. There was something going on. There was a strategy trying to dictate your life and press you down and just cut you off. And God says, I've turned that around. That has nothing to do with you. Don't you look back at that season. Don't you even question where I was, says God. Am I not here right now filling you with my spirit? I have always had my eye fixed on you. And I have brought you to this day. And I'm the one that has shown mercy. And I'm showing it well. Man, I hear that from the Lord. Your life has so much purpose and so much value. I keep hearing this. Your life is going to be amazing. Yeah. And what the enemy tried to suppress, God has exploded and turned it around in truth. In Jesus' name. Bless you. Wash you, God. Touch you, God. Touch you, God. In Jesus' name, complete wholeness. Yeah. You all can't see your t-shirt, but it says, blessed girl. That would be you. In Jesus' name. I just see the love of the Father coming more intimate than it's ever come before. I see Him healing some things even in your heart, giving you some ability and capacity to, wow, this sounds strange, but I hear this, to endure some things and to not change your mind. Don't be moved by what you're seeing right now in your life around you and some people that you care. Don't be moved by what you hear. Don't let that decide you. You endure like a good soldier. You endure. He wrote to Timothy, he said, no woman listening in the army of God ever again entangles himself in the affairs of this life. Don't you be distracted with stuff right now. That stuff, what people say, what people do, don't get fixed on. You keep letting God transform you. You keep letting Him work in you everything that's good. And I'm telling you, there's a day, it's right up, you're right up on this day, where without trying, you're going to look through His eye and see these things so different. Instead of your heart crying for you, your heart's going to cry for others. And you're going to see it in a totally changed way. And in that place, you're going to find how anointed you are to run this race well. I see the Lord protecting you from hurt and pain, even if things haven't changed yet. He's going to cause you to stand, and not just stand, but be okay while you stand. I know that makes sense to you, doesn't it? Yeah. He knows you. He loves you, and He knows how to encourage you. Touch Him, Lord, every one of them, your kids. Touch Him, King Jesus. Touch Him, King Jesus. Spirit of God, come. Touch Him, Jesus, your kids. Yeah, a wholeness that only you can bring. Wholeness. Revelation. King Jesus, touch this whole family for your glory. Touch this whole family. You've cried for this family. You've cared. I hear the Lord. He's not correcting you. He's encouraging you. You're almost scared a little too much. You've almost carried things you couldn't bear. You've worried at times. Call in prayer. But God said, you know what? I heard you anyway. And I've been working. And if you look, you'll know I've been working. You're in a place right now in your family that you didn't know you could be. And it's only going to get better, girl. I've heard your prayer, says the Lord. Don't you cry anymore. Don't you fear anymore. You know the hand of the Lord has come upon those that you've cared for. The faces you brought before my eyes are on, says God. Don't you spend another night crying in fear. You can cry in youth, but don't you cry in fear. I have answered your prayers. Yeah, I bless you, God. Can I touch the top of your head right here and put it right back there? Bless this child, God. Bless this child and let this pregnancy be absolutely amazing. And let this child be blessed. God, from birth, let this child be marked. And let all see that the Spirit of the Lord is upon this one. Let this whole family, the whole family, be blessed. Thank you, Father. Bless them, God. Bless your kids. Bless them. And touch them. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, and I'm going to make a declaration that not one person leaves here with the same thing they walked up here for. But God, you would do a clean sweep through redemption of the blood of Jesus because we're innocent. In Jesus' name. Would you lift your hands and just thank him for a second? Just believe right now that God's doing something that only he can do. That he absolutely loves you. That he absolutely forgives you. That the best is yet to come. That you will not stay the same. That things have changed. This ministry, you men in the blue shirt, I bless you. I pray for your leaders. I bless this ministry. I just bless men that see the interest and take interest in lives. People that seem to have struggled and cycled. I thank you for people that have the ability to not throw anybody away or give up on anybody, but actually believe that everybody can change. Everybody can walk in truth. Everybody can be redeemed. I thank you, God, for these men. And I pray they'll stay encouraged like never before, that their ministry will find wisdom, that their leaders would receive an increase of anointing and ability, things to minister, things and to see deliverance like no time before. Pray that this ministry be marked, that move forward and never look back. Move forward and never look back. I pray, God, that there would be such a sense of deliverance from this ministry that men would flood in here and get answers and move forward and never look back. In Jesus' name, I bless this ministry, God. Thank you for your hand upon it. Yeah? You all good? Yeah? Why don't you find your way back to your seats? You bet, man. Bless you. Listen, we're doing a water baptism tomorrow afternoon. If you've never, ever, ever been water baptized, please get water baptized tomorrow. What you're doing is you're going to die in the likeness of his death so you can raise in the newness of life. It's scriptural. He said, believe and be baptized and you shall be saved. You say, well, I thought the blood saves me. It does. But 1 Peter 3 says water baptism saves you by giving you a clear conscience towards God. That in the days of Noah, 8 righteous souls were saved through water. We have an antitype which now saves us. Water baptism. It's a far cry from an ordinance. It's a truth. It's a revelation. It's something you wrap faith around to receive a grace that brings change. If you've never been water baptized, bring a change of clothes, bring a towel, and we will be honored to baptize you in the name of the Lord. If you've never been born again and you've been in these services and you say, well, you didn't even have an altar call. Our altar call is at the water baptismal tomorrow. You show up there and say, man, I want to give my life to Jesus and I want to affirm it and bear witness by getting water baptized. And you show up there tomorrow and tell us you want to get saved and get baptized. Okay? Let's do this real quick and I'm going to dismiss everybody. Last night we'll do this real quick. We called these people up and prayed for them. Who would be out there tonight? And you would say, let me ask you, Robert already asked, who's here tonight? You were here last night and got prayer. And you can honestly say, your body's different. You received healing last night while you were here. And high, so people can see that you're here. That's for real, right? Okay, that's amazing. I need to see your hands right now. If you have sickness in your body and you would say, I have something less than wholeness, I would love for somebody to pray for me. Healing would be amazing to receive tonight. If you can't, stand to your feet and let people know that you want prayer. If you can't stand, just go like this till we see you. Just stand and let people see who you are. Keep your hand up. Let people see you. Church, I'm dismissing right now, okay? Before you leave, I want individuals to go stand with these people and say, hey, my name is so-and-so. How can I believe for you? And let's pray simple like we did last night. And let's watch how God just keeps moving. Fair enough? Yeah. Would you go? Would somebody get up and go stand with these people before you run out? And if they're taken up and they're covered, you can stand around them or you can make a friend, hug somebody. But let's go live Jesus from this night on. Go ahead. Go find somebody. Wave your hand if nobody's with you. Look around, church, if you're sitting. If you were here last night and you know what we did, go get somebody. Say, hey, I'm going to go pray. Go find them. They're over there. There's a man right in a blue shirt. Somebody get him. Tackle him. Knock him down. Get him. Yeah? Everybody covered? Is there anybody waiting? You got them? Good. Look, we love you. 10 o'clock tomorrow. Guys, thanks again for being here. Girls, you're the best. Thanks for being here. Amen. We love you. Bye-bye.